The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk. Emotions come, I don't know why. Sugar of love, alibi. Call me, on the line. Call me, anytime. Call me, I'm around when you're ready. We can share the wine. Call me.
Blondie. So yesterday, ticked off at Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, for calling him a jackass. Trump did what only Trump would do. He published Lindsey Graham's cell phone number. So he used the Blondie song as his theme song. Here's Trump.
It's not good to say that John McCain's a loser because he was captured in a time of war. It's not good to say that 11 million illegal immigrants are rapists and drug dealers when they're not. All I can say is that this is turning into a circus. I don't care if he drops out. Stay in the race. Just stop being a jackass. Mm-hmm. You don't have to run for president and be the world's biggest jackass.
So Lindsey Graham says to me, please, please, whatever you can do. You know what I'm saying? I said, what's this guy, a beggar? He's like begging me to help him with Fox and Friends. So I say, okay, and I'll mention your name. He said, could you mention my name? I said, yes, I'll mention. He gave me his number, and I found the card. I wrote the number down. I don't know if it's the right number. Let's try it. 202-228-0292. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, it's 3-4 years ago, so maybe it's an old number. So, I don't know. Give it a shot.
All right, so Graham's phone got blasted out. So now he says he's going to get an iPhone or an Android. So what do you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah,
Come on.
Me too. Yeah. But I want to get to an aspect of Trump's candidacy that is more relevant. And here, folks, is where I want to hear from you at 866-HERALDO. You know, everyone has things that irk them. One of the things that truly irk me, one of the most egregious things that irks me is how old men send young men to war. It's so easy to be an armchair hero when it's somebody else is putting his ass on the line. Somebody younger. Send them all. Come on, let's fight them. Let's blow them up. Let's take them on. Another irksome phenomenon is how old men change their views on abortion as they get older. The younger and more sexually active we are, the more likely we are to support the procedure as a kind of last-ditch birth control. You hardly give it any thought unless you're a very religious person if you're a man of a certain age, at least not around here. Now, the older we get, the more likely we are, you get more thoughtful about some things, the more likely we are to humanize the fetus and to be more or less repulsed by the whole scene. We try to avoid thinking about it because of what it entails. We often come to the conclusion at a certain age that there are at least aspects of it that are distasteful. And some aspects of it, like late-term partial birth abortions, I mean, you just, you want to go, ooh, they should be restricted if not outlawed. So Donald Trump went through that semi-typical evolution. During his roustabout years, he was pro-choice. We were all pro-choice. But the years leading up to and beyond the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade that spelled out a woman's constitutional right to control her own body, Trump, me, you, a lot of you anyway, most of the rest of us, around New York anyway, believed in unrestricted access to abortion. That was the law of the land. I mean, with certain limitations, the baby could not be quick, that is, could not survive outside the womb. But up until that time, that's the law. Anyone seeking to limit that access to abortion was a Neanderthal. In Trump's case, his big change came in February of 2011 when he was pondering running for president the last time around, and he was desperate to show that he was a conservative and he needed that evangelical support for sure. So he announced, this is going back 4 years or so, that he had changed and he was now pro-life. Trump pledging then to fight for a reversal of Obamacare, which at the time folks worried was containing abortion funding. So Trump said at the time of his conversion, "I am now pro-life." That's a quote. "I am now pro-life after years of being pro-choice." Now, the reason I bring up Mr. Trump's conversion is, and this is where I want to hear from you, I think that his conversion was and is a harbinger of politics to come. I didn't think it possible until a couple of days ago, but abortion might soon surpass or at least exist side by side with immigration as one of the most important issues for a huge slice of the electorate. And I'm focused on the working class, non-college educated, mostly male white voters. I mean, it's huge for them. And I think that there's this brewing scandal right now that might even broaden the issue's significance beyond that 25% of voters, the working class, non-college educated, mostly male voters. The Times has this story on the front page. This is where I want to hear from you. For the second time in 2 weeks, an undercover video has been published showing a luncheon in which an executive for Planned Parenthood, which is the biggest provider of abortion, of this, you know, procedure. Planned Parenthood, the executive, is negotiating the sale of aborted fetuses to someone purporting to represent medical researchers. The sale of fetal body parts is illegal. You can't just like, you want to buy an arm, I'll sell you an arm. But Planned Parenthood and others similarly situated are permitted to charge a fee to cover their expenses for facilitating such necessarily gruesome transactions. So you have a couple of videos. The first video last week showed the Planned Parenthood senior executive, Dr. Deborah Nucatola, meeting with actors who were portraying buyers from a human biologics company. And in that first video, the buyers discussed the sale of the fetal body parts with Dr. Nucatola over the lunch. In the second video, I'm going to play you an excerpt from it. And again, my question to you is, should abortion be central to the coming GOP nominating process and to the 2016 presidential election? In the second video that was released a day or two ago, right?
I think that's right, 2 days
beginning
ago.
Beginning of the week. You have a Dr. Mary Gadder, who's the president of Planned Parenthood's Medical Directors Council. She's seen negotiating the price of aborted fetal body parts. What I want to play you now, and it's sometimes difficult to hear, is the video of Dr. Mary Gadder negotiating the price of the aborted fetal body parts with an actor that she thinks represents this company buying body parts for medical research. Now, you listen to this, and we're going to talk about whether you think this should be at the heart of the nominating process for the GOP and for the presidential election itself in 2016. Here it is.
What would you expect for intact tissue? What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay?
I don't think so. I would like to know what would make you happy, what would work for you.
You know, in negotiations, the person who throws out the figure first is at a loss, right? So.
No, I don't look at it that way. I know. You want to play that game, I get it. But
I want to lowball because I'm used to low things from...
You know what? If you lowball, I'll act pleasantly surprised and you'll know it's a lowball.
Okay.
What I want to know is what would work for you. Don't lowball it.
Okay.
Tell me what you really...
$75 a specimen.
Oh, that's way too low. That's way too low.
It sounds like.
I don't want to be in the position of being accused of selling tissue and stuff like that. On the other hand, there are costs associated with the use of
exactly.
space and all that kind of stuff. So what
yes.
would you think about it?
Right.
All right. So here you have a situation. You heard that, right? So low ball. I mean, it sounds like they're negotiating a sale of used tires. And the problem, obviously, from Planned Parenthood's point of view, and this is what I want to talk to you about, is that this undercover video portrays that executive, Dr. Mary Gatter, the president of the Medical Directors Council, as a heartless ghoul, trafficking in the harvesting of baby body parts from his cache of remains from the perennially controversial procedure that it provides to so many young women. It looks like, it seems like, it feels like she's selling like stale donuts or day after bread. There seems to be no respect for the fact that what's being sold used to be an unborn baby. I mean, we hate liberals, progressives, moderates. We hate to even think about abortion. We don't want to. It's like, it's powerfully distasteful, whatever your stance on the issue. However necessary the procedure is for young women, particularly unmarried teenagers and so forth. But what you have now is, you have with Mr. Trump and the other Republican candidates, Rand Paul especially, but you got John Boehner as the cheerleader and Mitch McConnell, another one, cheering it on from the Senate side. This is going to be a central issue in the presidential race. Should it be? Should it be? When this sensational sales video really sinks into the American people that have been focused on some of these other issues, immigration and the thing with the prisoners of war and Trump and so forth, this is going to be a born-again issue that's near the center of everyone's presidential campaign, certainly on the Republican side of it. This is abortion World War III. First you had World War I was the buildup to Roe v. Wade. Then you had World War II is after Roe v. Wade. This is now the third phase. This has a potency, I believe, that will recast abortion and the presidential campaign right now. They're going to be seeing who could outdo each other to defund Planned Parenthood, and to restrict abortion every which way they can. Should this be at the center of the presidential campaign? That's my issue. 25 minutes after 10 o'clock, 866-ERALDO. So is this now at the center of the Republican nominating process? All these candidates now falling over each other to announce probes of Planned Parenthood, efforts to withhold funding of the entire government unless funding for Planned Parenthood is exercised from Obamacare. Bill Donahue, my pal from the Catholic League, I ran into him last week at Fox, joins us on the phone right now. So, Bill, first of all, applaud the fact that this issue is now center in the political dialogue again?
Well, I do. You know, it's unfortunate that after all these years, we're still back to the same kind of discussion. You know, I read the New York Times editorial today, and the whole thing is on the question of deception, which is a legitimate issue, and the question about did they actually...
You mean deception, meaning the undercovers who posed as people negotiating the sale of the aborted body parts?
Right. I think that is a legitimate issue. I also think it's a legitimate issue for the Times to mention whether or not there was a quid pro quo here in terms of buying the body parts or whether there was... These were ancillary costs such as the transportation or storage. Where the New York Times misses it, and this is what really bothers me tremendously. When I watched those videos, I wasn't so much concerned whether or not, you know, would they violate the federal law on did they really pay for it to get the parts or not. We should talk to them about body parts, too, and organs. We shouldn't use the word tissue. That's another sanitization of the language here. But what bothered me was that when I saw the video, I was struck by the degree in which these people, these women doctors, were speaking with a sense of aplomb, of casualness, very matter-of-fact, like I would say, well, today's Wednesday, Geraldo, the Yankees won last night. That's the way we would talk about those kinds of mundane things. That was the eerie thing about this, that there was a depersonalization, a dehumanization of the baby, and the New York Times didn't even address it.
So what do you do, Bill? Here you have a situation where Planned Parenthood says they need the fee to facilitate this. You need medical research. You have the fetal body parts available, the aborted fetal body parts available. Just to talk about it is distasteful. It's powerfully distasteful, whatever your stance on the issue. My question to you is the desensitivity, is the utter lack of awe, let's say, over what is actually going on here, what is it central here, and I mean, is there a bigger message?
That is the biggest message. See, it's not distasteful to them. It is distasteful to everybody else, including a lot of people who are pro-choice. Back in the early 1970s, I just gotten out of the Air Force. I read a Playboy interview with Albert Speer, and he was one of the top lieutenants to Adolf Hitler. When I first read this, I was a little bit taken back. What is he talking about? I quickly got it, and I never forgot it, and I taught it to my students. Speer was asked, how could you kill so many Jews? How could you orchestrate the genocide of millions of Jews? His answer was, I didn't hate them. I was indifferent to them. I depersonalized them. And I began to think about it. Yeah, you know, if you get angry with a loved one or a friend, your anger is certainly demonstrative of the fact you're dealing with a human being. But when you walk down the street and you see an ant and you just keep on walking, that's what we would expect. If you do that to a human being, you step on him, that's a different kind of thing. So I think that's the thing that's really riveting about this and where Planned Parenthood is in a big hole. I don't care about the money at this point. I'm concerned about what kind of message does this send to our society that these people can operate this multi-million dollar extravaganza, this abortion bill, expecting me to pay for it, and they act like as if they're talking about chewing gum. It's astonishing to me.
All right. Now, on that point, you may get a lot more agreement than you suspect. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League is my guest. My question now, more about politics, are you suspect when someone like Donald Trump, who was pro-choice, is now pro-life? Do you worry that some of these Republicans will be falling over each other to say how anti-Planned Parenthood they are without you having a kind of sincerity meter?
Yes, to be quite honest with you, because when people are flip-flopping on an issue of such centrality, I didn't believe Romney. I don't believe Trump. I have a problem with these people. I'm not saying people can't change their minds. I'm not saying that. But on an issue of this centrality, to just flip-flop rather casually themselves, by the way, Romney was never persuasive. Trump has not been persuasive. Yeah, they'll exploit it for their own political capital. But I am interested in also hearing what the other person says. When Hillary Clinton says, following her husband, we want to make abortion safe, legal, and rare, well, she didn't want to make it rare. She's in favor of partial birth. So if the baby's 80% born and that's okay to kill that baby, then there's not much left for you to register an objection to. But in terms of safe, she was against Scott Walker's 20-week ban, saying it's dangerous. To whom? I mean, no, I think this is going to get this is going to be kicked around. And yeah, she's in trouble on this issue, but the Republicans better be careful, too, because you correctly identified the sincerity meter. That matters to people like me.
Bill Donahue, my guest. Thank you, Bill.
I'm Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. I want to be really clear. The allegation that Planned Parenthood profits in any way from tissue donation is not true.
The problem, though, Cecile Richards, from Planned Parenthood's point of view, that undercover video, I mean, let's be honest, folks, it portrays the executive there as a heartless ghoul trafficking in the harvesting of baby body parts from like a pile that you visualize in the back of the clinic. You know, this is a very controversial procedure, even though for many New Yorkers, sophisticated New Yorkers, the issue was settled long ago, is very unsettled in many parts of the country. I mean, you read about, particularly in the South and the Midwest, how various states are trying to limit the abortion procedure. Just had Scott Walker in Wisconsin, a 20-week limit. So what's that, 5 months? After 5 months, no more abortion. That's the law they're trying to pass. It's going to come to that. It's going to come to that. But for right now, you have this video and you have people like Donald Trump and others. Now we'll focus on this, I believe, on the sensational sales video. They're going to escalate their attacks on Planned Parenthood funding. They're going to recast abortion as a born-again issue near the center of the presidential campaigns. This is big. Like it or not, is it appropriate? Will it help the Republicans? Will it hurt the Republicans? Will it make them seem like fuddy-duddies trying to interfere with women's right to choose? How do you think? What do you think? Starting in, okay, it's all about you now. Here's Jim. Jim, you're in Cincinnati.
Hey, Geraldo, I was listening to WABC this morning online, and I happened to hear you bring up this subject, and you don't know, we go back a long way. I saw you on TV first in early 70s. I think you were Good Night America, maybe.
Yes, sir, my first network show.
You were using Woody Guthrie's song as a theme song,
yep,
maybe, at the end?
Yep.
Okay, now I want to make what may be considered to be a inflammatory statement in a way, and then ask you...
Inflame away, buddy.
And then ask you a sincere question. When you say, yes, of course it should be at the center of the presidential campaign. When you say that Planned Parenthood official sounds like a ghoul, she is a ghoul. And I have to ask you this, because I think your position is still ghoulish. Most Americans apparently don't know that abortion was made legal up to 9 months in 1973, and it's still legal up to 9 months in every state. Some states have some restrictions, but they're really not that effective. So I've only asked, and I want to ask you this, and I think these reporters, I don't call them actors, I call them undercover reporters, deserve a Pulitzer Prize. But I want to ask you this. I've only talked to one person in the past 40 years. I'm 62 years old now, did a lot of picketing at abortion chambers. I only found one person. She was a counter-picketer at Planned Parenthood in Cincinnati. I said, do you, and the question I asked people is, do you realize, if you're for abortion up to the 9 months, that after the third month, the doctor has to, you know, crush the baby's head and pull off the little baby's arms and legs from the third month on. This one person said, yeah, I do realize that, and I'm still for abortion. And I at least respected her for her honesty. There were others say no choice, blah, 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 blah. And if you're for Roe versus Wade, still Geraldo, up to 9 months, what's your answer to that? Do you realize that they crush the little baby's head and pull the little arms and legs
that,
up after
know,
the
well,
third
you,
month?
You can be as graphic, Jim, as you care to be. To me, the Roe v. Wade decision is the right decision. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Roe v. Wade essentially said that the fetus, the rights of the mother supersede the rights of the fetus until the fetus can exist outside the womb. And I think that as technology continues to evolve, that date will be pushed back further and further in the nine-month term. Now, when you're speaking about the nine-month abortion, that's not the law except in the in those circumstances for the health of the mother and so forth. But I think that the video, and when I say it's the video is sensational, I'm going to thank you for your call. The video is sensational. It's because there is also a discussion that the Planned Parenthood folks and the other abortion providers are now using a different procedure to preserve the tissue. Isn't that what it is now?
Yeah, well, it's to preserve the stem cell. So if you have an abortion within the first, and I'm not a doctor here, so I may not get that this is 100% correct, but there's these pluripotent stem cells that are in newborn, that are in babies in the first 8 to 12 weeks. In other words, those stem cells haven't attached themselves to anything yet. So those are the stem cells that researchers and doctors want because the thought is you can take those stem cells because they have not made an attachment and help people who are sick, have cancer, have heart defects, and insert those stem cells into them and maybe pump up their heart, maybe fight off cancer better, that kind of thing. And so when you say harvest parts, it's not really harvesting parts. They're interested in the stem cells, especially these pluripotent stem cells, which are only available in the first 12 weeks or so.
And so what difference is there, and I know it's graphic at 10:43 in the morning, What difference is there in the procedure to preserve the stem cells, the pluripotent
stem cells? Normally they would vacuum out the fetus.
Right.
In this case, it's, and again, I'm not a doctor, I'm just playing one on the radio. They pull out the entire fetus. Instead of sucking it out, they want it.
And then they do what with it?
And then I guess that's when they search for these stem cells, that they can pull out these pluripotent stem cells.
And so what we have on the video, the undercover video. Crash, get that original undercover video. I want to play that, just the part, that first part of that again. Tell me when you, tell me. I'll take one more call, and then you play that video again. Here's Frankie in Brooklyn. Thanks, Frankie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, buddy. What's up?
The word that I can think of is this. I think it's, I'm sorry, I overran it, but it's incomprehensible. I mean, like, if ever in before my life, being a citizen all my life, the fact that whatever.
Frankie, I gotta let you go, buddy. You gotta call me back because that's a terrible line. I don't wanna hurt our ears of our other customers here. In Oyster Bay, John's on the line. Okay, well, all right, hold on, John. Let me play the cut. Go ahead.
What would you expect for intact tissue? What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay?
I don't think so. I would like to know what would make you happy. What would work for you?
You know, in negotiations, the person who throws out the figure first is at a loss, right? So...
You, no, I don't look at it that way. I know you want to play that game. I get it, but
It sounds terrible. It sounds terrible. Sure, I care where you stand. It sounds so yucky. Here's John in Oyster Bay. Sorry, John. What's up?
Okay. Well, I think one of your major premises is wrong, that you had spoken of earlier. You mentioned it's mostly young people are pro-choice, and when you get older. Remember, most of these politicians, the Kennedys, Joe Biden, I think Kerry, they used to be pro-life until it became politically incorrect. But more important, every year they have a march, and it's very ironic because 10 people can pick at a Catholic church, and it'll be on every single news story that night. They have a march every January on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. That, if you ever saw that on TV, well, it is.
Sure, Reagan used to address the crowd, George W. Bush, George H.W., I think, also.
Geraldo, it looks like the King's March. It is a wall of people, hundreds of thousands, and you would never, it's like being in a Stephen King novel. You would never know on the nightly news that that even occurred. They don't even talk about it. It boggles my mind.
So do you think this is going to be a big issue now, John? All right, stick to my point here. Is it going to be big, or is it going to be more of a, just ignored by the mainstream?
It's going to be big. First of all, they're going to ratchet it up to be a Republican war on women, which is bogus. I think it's a major civil rights issue. You're talking about can four or five justices on a court unilaterally strike down the rights. You know, you're talking about unborn women, women's rights. These are unborn women. Do they have any rights at all? Can a court, an imperial tribunal, literally...
All right, John, I don't want to debate abortion here, folks. I want to be very clear, but I appreciate the call, John. I want to be clear. I don't want to debate abortion. I'm asking a very simple question. Is this issue, does it have a potency central to the Republican nominating process and to the election itself? That's what I want to know. This is a political question, not a medical question, not even a constitutional question, a political question. Mark in Edison, what's up, Mark?
Yeah, well, I'm actually somebody who went from pro-life to pro-choice. And that's because I'm Jewish, and I found out I was a Tay-Sachs carrier, as my fiance was at the time. But I do think that abortion, if the Republicans push that on their agenda, it's a losing agenda. This country is socially on the left. Physically, I think it's on the right. And I think if they start pushing the social agenda, which is associated with the conservative movement, I think they're shooting themselves in the foot.
All right. On that point, there's Mark's well-expressed opinion. That's what we're talking about. Front page of the New York Times, here comes abortion as an issue in 2016. And for the Republican nominating process, the funding of Planned Parenthood's going to be, in the way they wanted to abolish Obamacare, now it's going to be focused on Planned Parenthood funding. Abortion is going to be recast as the born-again issue. Westchester. Eileen's on the line. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Geraldo. I would like to congratulate and thank Noam for being the only sensible one who came up. He's clarifying the difference between fetal tissue used for medical research and body parts. Body parts are sensationalizing the issue. It's fetal tissue, and it's being used for medical advances to save people's lives.
But what is the difference, truly, Eileen? And, you know, I'm pro-choice. What is the difference between...
Abortion is legal.
Between body parts and fetal tissue. Isn't fetal tissue a body part of a body?
Yeah, but otherwise it ends up in the garbage can.
An arm, a leg.
Well, that's a different issue. I mean, what do you just throw it away? What do you do? You incinerate it? What do you do? Well, go ahead, Eileen. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Why can't we harvest it? For medical advances, you know, for to save people's lives.
But when you do it, shouldn't it be in a more, I guess, I think part of the problem with the video and why it's so powerful is it seems so cavalier, the process, as if they were selling marbles or used milk containers.
They're selling tissue, not body parts. There is a
That's a cop-out. I don't buy that. Okay. I don't buy that. I'm pro-choice, and I don't buy that. It's not. What's tissue? I remember all my pals in the beginning, all the women's rights, and I was, you know, I am, like I say, pro-choice. But the whole, it's a kind of tissue. Tissue is as if to divorce it from its humanity. I don't think that's right. I mean, would it be tissue if it was a regular grown-up cadaver that we were harvesting? You know, I think that you got to face the fact that it's a process that is distasteful, and it should have some sanctity to it, some ceremony to it. It should be much more, it seems to me. I mean, I don't know.
It should be like organ donation.
It should be like organ donation. It should be. And that, you know.
We're saving lives with stem cell research.
It sounds like it just sounded to me. All right. I mean, I think this is a very damaging expose. And if Planned Parenthood and the advocates of pro-choice don't deal with it, there's going to be trouble. We'll be back, though, after the news. More trouble your way.
I know there's somebody somewhere. Make these dark clouds disappear. Until that day, I have to believe, I believe, I believe. In a New York minute, ooh, everything can change. In a New York minute, ooh, you can get out of the way. In a New York minute, ooh,
anything can change in a New York minute. But some things are perennial. And now a perennial issue has come back and reared its ugly head, abortion. The issue now out there in the clear, now with this undercover video. This sensational sales video that seems to show a heartless ghoul from Planned Parenthood trafficking in the harvesting of baby body parts. Of course, that's the harshest possible characterization of it. Advocates of the procedure would argue, what are you going to do? People are having abortions and it's legal. What are you going to do? Throw these valuable body parts and otherwise known as tissue into the garbage when you could save it, retrieve it, use it to do medical research on a procedure that conceivably could save thousands and millions of young lives. That's the argument. But the issue right now is Planned Parenthood funding is going to be the new boogeyman, along with immigration. On the issue of immigration, by the way, do you hear that Donald Trump has announced plans that tomorrow he will be visiting the Mexico-Texas border to hold a press conference on the border, surrounded by the union officials from the Border Patrol? All folks who are extremely critical of the Obama administration for reasons of their own. So Trump's going to now take immigration and abortion and the other Republicans too. They'll be forced to talk about it. Is it a winning approach, though? Can you win? Remember, marijuana, gay marriage, immigration, abortion, those kinds of issues, if the Republicans campaign on them, I think that's a loser. They can't win on that. And yet now with this video surfacing, there's no doubt that people will be focused. and every Republican will be falling over themselves just as they're saying, you know, the right wing of the 16 in the pool so far saying, tighten the border, no illegal immigration, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to have them now saying no funding for Planned Parenthood. It's going to be the new frontier in this presidential campaign. Is this a winner? Is this a loser? What are you thinking about it? Here's Ray. Ray in Brooklyn. Calling 866 Geraldo. Thanks. You're on 77 WABC. Ray, what's up?
I have two quick comments. The first one is that it's a losing proposition, not because the country is left or right. It's because it's a hypocritical situation. The same people who normally are against abortion, I'm not saying I'm for it or against it, but the same people who are usually against abortion are the same people who are against sexual education in schools, and the same people that are against supporting the kids that need to be fed after the child is born. You know, this in this country, according to the government statistics, there are approximately 17 million children that are food insecure. So those are the same people that normally say they don't care. That's not their problem. So that's why I think it's very...
It's an interesting point. The people who are against abortion are against things like nutritional supplements for born children. I mean, that's exactly. A good argument on the Democrat side. There's no doubt about it. I endorse that argument. If you're going to be for, you know, preserving unborn children, you know, preserving those lives, then once they're born, you got to be for taking care of those born children. No doubt about that. Good point, exactly. Ray. Good point. You articulated it well, and I appreciate it. Now, moving on to Hillsboro, here's Al. What are you thinking about, Al?
Well, here's the thing, Geraldo. I appreciate you having me on the show. I really believe it's all about which side is most energized when it comes time for the election. Right now, obviously, the Republican side of things is very energized. It's a fun field of candidates. And I think if the election were held today, Democrats would sit on their hands for the most part and not go out and vote as much as they did, maybe, say, for the first two Obama elections. And this brings to the forefront an energizing part of the debate where Democrats might all of a sudden say, hey, we got to get out there and defend Roe v. Wade, and we need to be out there because it's not going to be about Planned Parenthood when it comes time for the election. It's going to be about abortion. It's just going to evolve in that direction. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
All right. Well, we'll watch that one. I think that you do get a tremendous burst of energy, but what I'm talking about, since elections are decided by the 2-4% in the middle in our country, there's 47 and 47, and then they fight over the other 4, 5, 6, right in the middle there. This could, I think the Planned Parenthood thing could affect and could influence some percentage. I believe that it is so graphic that if you allow your brain to focus on it, there's definitely an ooh factor. There's definitely a man, oh man, where's the reverence? I'm sorry, but it is that. In New York City, here's Steve. What's up, Steve?
Geraldo, yes. Number one, I have a few comments. First of all, I'm extremely smart. I'm one of the smartest people in the country. So you could.
Well, all right, we got that. We got that noted, Steve. Okay. Now, aside from your inherent intelligence, what's up?
Thank you, sir. Number one, when you played the tape about abortion, you didn't let it extend another 20 seconds to where the woman
we did the first time
that she wanted to buy a Lamborghini.
Oh, okay. Did we play the Lamborghini part?
You did not. Okay, now that was rather...
It was a joke on the tape.
Well, okay, you didn't play it today.
All right, Chris, play it. If you have it, play it. You got. Okay. Oh, go ahead. When he's finding it, Steve, what else?
Okay, number two, when you say... First of all, this woman that works for Planned Parenthood, she would not be... Dr. Mary Gatter, she would not be a negotiator to create revenue for Planned Parenthood because she's a dunce. She's a negotiating dunce. Did you see how she was negotiating with the person? Terribly, okay? So now that indicates right away that she's doing it in a clandestine fashion to make money. Hence, also, you add in the Lamborghini comment, et cetera, and it shows that, you know, she was in for... Number three, when you said that Donald Trump was flip-flopping in the wind due to political reasons. You also mentioned when Obama and Hillary wavered about gay marriage, you said that that was an epiphany. You said people go up, and Obama and Hillary grew up, and they decided to change their mind.
The Trump evolution, I put in the care. All right, I got it. I got it, Mr. Brilliant. I got it. Thanks for the call, 866-ORALDO. The thing is, I started the show, and I want to play the tape again for you. You got the Lamborghini part, Chris? Let me know. All right, when you got the Lamborghini part, let me know. It is so easy for young men to be for choice, to be for abortion, and old men to be against it. Why? Because it doesn't affect our lives anymore. You know, when we're 26 years old and you get your girlfriend pregnant, or God forbid you're 16 years old and you get your girlfriend pregnant, abortion is a lot more a part of your life than it is when you're not of child-rearing age anymore, or you get yourself voluntarily out of the market. It's just like war. So easy to be against war when there was a draft, and then to be for war when it's somebody else who's volunteering to go fight. But I think that this abortion thing is going to definitely fire up the base at the very least, and it's going to cause, I think, the candidates, just like our immigration, it's going to cause the candidates to go harder on their positions than they might in the ordinary course of business. Here's Tom from the Bronx. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Geraldo. Thanks for taking my call. The supporters of Planned Parenthood, if they're so concerned that the using of fetal tissue for scientific purposes and saving lives is such a true concern, then they should donate the tissues and not be looking to make money on it.
Well, that's I think that the theory, Tom, in fairness, the theory is that the fee just covers the harvesting. Is that right now?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% clear on that part of it.
Okay, all right, here it is. Listen.
It's been years since I've talked about compensation, so let me just figure out what others are getting at. If this is in the ballpark, and that's fine. If it's still low, then we can talk about that.
You would?
I want a Lamborghini. I said I want a Lamborghini.
All right, there's the Lamborghini part. And it just seems crass. I mean, doesn't it seem crass to
you? Yeah, absolutely does.
It's hard to defend that. I mean, I guess people say things in private that they never would say if they knew that it would be public. I mean, if she was at a press conference, she wouldn't be joking about Lamborghinis. No. And it's been years since I negotiated and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, and I think therein lies the rub. And that's the power. Listen, if I didn't invent undercover video, I think Mike Wallace did. I certainly was a major proponent of it. And we busted the chops of a lot of people that were portrayed in a horrible way, I think fairly. But, you know, when your guard is down and you think you're talking privately, and in fact, I mean, that's what all these, you know, when all these videos surfacing of various people in their candid moments, that's why it's so powerful, because your guard is down and it seems like you're looking right into a person's soul. I mean, is there a soullessness about this process? I understand, believe me, I want stem cell research. I think it's absolutely necessary. And I absolutely understand that better than the garbage can, the medical research lab, to advance the seeking of cures to these horrifying diseases. If people are going to get abortions anyway, isn't it better than to incinerate or discard these parts to allow reputable medical research labs to find the cure for cancer, find the cure for heart disease, find the cure for Alzheimer's, at least to seek it with these plenipotent?
These pluripotent.
Pluripotent stem cells. And where exactly, what period of the gestation are they most potent?
Again, I'm not a doctor, but in that 8 to 12 week of the fetus.
So
the baby,
2 to 3 month abortion.
Pluripotent stem cells is when they haven't assigned themselves to anything,
right.
And that's why they're pluripotent.
And that's where the research comes.
Right.
So, doesn't Planned Parenthood have, like, established relationships? I would have expected them to have established relationships, like with the Mayo Clinic or Johns Hopkins.
Well, but it's not legal at this point to do any of this, so.
Well, it's not legal to sell them, but it's certainly it's legal. I mean, that's what they're saying as the defense, to charge a fee for the expediting and the transport and all the rest of that. The harvesting, I guess the lab does the harvesting. I mean, it's icky, but, you know, it's not a Lamborghini. I mean, that's the point, and that's where they screwed up.
77 WABC.
25 minutes after 11 o'clock, abortion has reared its ugly head. It is now going to be central to the campaign, at least for the next several weeks. That and immigration, those will be the two most inflammatory issues. Immigration, so potent an issue that notice what we have not spoken about today. We have not spoken about prisoners of war and Donald Trump's apparent diss of the people whose service we revere most. Of course, he went on O'Reilly Monday night and said, if I must spoke, and I certainly would like to correct that. I mean, it was a kind of a modest apology, but it seems like that issue now has disappeared. Trump tomorrow will be at the border. So if that POW issue needed any further diminution, the splash, as Donald Trump adopts Ann Coulter as his principal foreign policy advisor, that immigration and abortion, who would have thought, now back central, given the explosive and deeply disturbing video that shows Dr. Mary Gatter, president of Planned Parenthood's Medical Directors Council, negotiating the price of aborted fetal body parts, otherwise known as tissue. Okay, let's go to Peter in Manchester. Peter, what are you thinking about?
Hey, Geraldo. I was thinking about immigration, and I appreciate the fact that on your show you can very calmly explain and discuss and debate what feelings are about.
What do you mean by that? How dare you accuse me of being calm? But go ahead.
But one thing that troubles me is I know your position on immigration, and I know with your ethnic background, I know you feel very deeply for your people, but I really don't think it's about race.
My people? People go. Well, Puerto Ricans happen to be citizens. Those are my specific people. And the Jews, they happen often to be citizens as well. But if you're speaking about my desire for immigration reform, and if you think my ethnicity is what fuels my passion, then that's okay.
No, and I'm not really.
There's okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm playing with you, Peter. We're good. Make your point, buddy.
I just don't understand what would the purpose of having a porous border be.
I don't want a porous border. I don't want a porous border. I think that any sovereign nation must have secure boundaries. I think, though, the relationship between Mexico and the United States, like, I just want to say something about this. And, you know, this is, like, totally off what I've been talking about all day. But look at people from the South. Like, you worked in Charleston, South Carolina. To people in the South, it's like the Civil War was yesterday. Like, the Civil War was right around the same time as World War II or Korea or Vietnam, whatever it is. It's like, It's a living part of their psyche, the Civil War. Civil War is 1860 to 1865, right? So the Civil War ended in 1865, started in 1860. 12 years before that, 1848, Colorado, California, New Mexico, Arizona, parts of Nevada, Utah, were Mexico. They were Mexico. So if that doesn't count in terms of our need to be sympathetic to Mexican immigration, then why should the Confederacy and the South and the heritage and all that other stuff, why should that mean a hill of beans? So a Mexican can't be nostalgic about California, which he lost 12 years before the Civil War, but an Alabaman could be nostalgic about the Gettysburg. It's like ridiculous to me. Give him some slack. Be open-minded here. Be compassionate.
Soon you'll be cut off before you get by. Oh, unborn child beginning to grow inside your mama, but you'll never know. Oh, tiny bud that grows in the womb, only to be crushed
before you can do.
Unborn Child, Seals and Croft. Released in 1974, Seals and Croft were the most popular duet. I bet you never heard of the album. Unborn Child, they released it at the height of the pro-choice movement. Roe v. Wade, remember, the year before, 1973. Huge. Huge controversy. Seals and Croft disappeared. Their careers wrecked by that. Now I wonder what the deal would be. You know, I think that, generally speaking, I'm being from New York, the people who are pro-choice were definitely regarded as the hipper. The pro-life were kind of the old fuddy-duddies. I mean, that's just the way it came down. A lot of it was religion-based. Like, Catholics were overwhelmingly represented, disproportionately represented in the pro-life sector. Jewish people and some Protestant sects disproportionately represented in the pro-choice sector. College educated versus uncollege educated, all the rest of it, hip versus unhip. This is not about any of that. This is about a video being released, two of them now in 2 weeks, and there are more to come. He's going to release one every week now. He says he did this project, the guy who did it, New York Times front page. The guy who did it says he has weeks and weeks of release. He's going to fuel this issue. A young guy, he's 26 years old, the guy. Huh. He's going to fuel this issue in this video now where you see the Planned Parenthood medical director negotiating the price of the aborted fetal body parts. It's going to be a big part of the discussion, whether it works for Republicans or not. Here it comes. What are you thinking? All right, here's Andrew. Andrew, our buddy Andrew. Hey, long time no see.
Hey, what's up? I wanted to talk about President Obama's infamous videos, which you can make infamous. But real quick on immigration, if you're sympathetic, then you should promote legal immigration for the safety of the person crossing.
I do. I do indeed. I do indeed.
But Obama, on the Senate floor, which is Senate record, his videos are just as appalling and shocking. He was giggling, talking about babies all limp. If it's not all limp, he was the lone fighter against the Born Alive Act. No one had a word, Democrat, pro-choice. No one said anything against it. They all voted for it. Including.
Well, he's not running for anything, Andrew.
But his video should be exposed. I heard it on an old urban radio station in Chicago when he was a city councilman. He was real nasty. They were asking him, why are you fighting against the Born Alive Act? And he said, I don't want her to have to rethink her decision, meaning another doctor would save the baby. He was browbeating these nurses that testified from the Chicago hospital about babies being
okay. Andrew, I got it, buddy. Yeah, I got it. President Obama's position on abortion now, but not terribly relevant to the current discussion. We're talking about politics. Does it work for the Republicans? Does it hurt the Republicans? Regardless of how you feel about this incendiary issue, I'm talking politics today. Here's John in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
I'm okay. I'm a native of Haiti, and
Say that one more time.
I'm a native of Haiti. I'm Haitian.
Oh, a native of Haiti. Okay.
Yeah. What happened is I experienced discrimination and racism, many times in New York, but not from people like Donald Trump, but from Latinos. Now.
From Latinos. How so, John? How so?
Well, they were calling me animals, Haitiano animal, when I worked at the bank and also at Social Security Department of Social Security Administration. So what I'm saying is, I think by calling the way you talk about Trump, I think you're not his friend. You're calling him his friend. I don't think you are his friend. When you're a friend, you don't come on the air every day beating up on your friend. You call them and speak with them in private. So and you don't do that. And the same thing, you are accusing him.
But wait, John, what does that have to do? And I don't agree with your characterization of how I'm speaking of Donald Trump and the other presidential candidates. What does that have to do with you experiencing discrimination at the hand of Latinos?
It has to do with the fact that
You're thinking we all are like discriminatory, all us Latinos? What's your point?
Yeah, because you're only defending Mexicans and Latinos. Now, if you're talking about, okay, they come here to work because they're poor, then we should let the poor Haitians come too.
I agree that the Haitians got screwed. The Cubans, for instance, they come from 50 miles from Haiti, and yet they get treated so much better than the Haitians do. I've always spoken about that.
I never heard you saying anything. For example, right now, the Dominican Republic is denationalizing.
I saw that. That's a good issue. That's an excellent issue.
Haitian descent. You never said anything about it.
I have not. You're right.
You're only defending Mexicans. So you are very selective. In your love for illegals. So I don't think it's the right thing to do.
All right, John, I am appropriately chastised. I appreciate that. You know this story? The Dominican Republic is denationalizing Haitian illegals, undocumented immigrants. You know, they share the island of Hispaniola. Haiti is the western third of it, more or less. The Dominican Republic is the eastern two-thirds of the same island. A mountain range separates. The Dominican Republic is relatively better off than Haiti. Remember, Haiti suffered that awful earthquake. They've had deforestation. They've had horrible environmental problems. So Haitians, poor Haitians, those who don't adventure out on those leaky boats that get picked up at sea trying to get to the United States, many of them over the years have crossed over the ridge into the Dominican Republic. Many have lived there, sometimes generations. They're now being extradited or expelled. That's it. They're being expelled from their longtime homes in the Dominican Republic if they are Haitian citizens or Haitian-born. And some of the Haitian children were actually born in the Dominican Republic. Many of them are being expelled. It's very controversial. I have not addressed it. And I'm glad that the fellow brought it up, however rude his approach. And it is a real issue. It is a real human rights issue. And it is, you know, with deference to the fellow, it is being lowballed in a sense. It's not being talked about. You hadn't even heard about it.
No. First time.
It's real. I mean, it's real obviously I'm keen on the goings on with the Caribbean. And now particularly with Cuba being brought back into the fold of normal relations. There's more focus on it. Haiti has always been, though, in fairness to the fellow again and to the Haitian people, the situation with Haiti as the undocumented immigration and the situation in Haiti really not getting a whole lot of attention. It's very frustrating to deal with Haiti. I mean, it is such a corrupt society and it is so dysfunctional. And every time I get involved in Haiti and you raise money for Haiti or whatever you do for Haiti, it just seems to have no discernible impact. It goes on at a kind of a low-level pace there that it's very frustrating. Haiti, I mean, it was very, very depressing. Very depressing. Okay, let me take this one in Westchester. Brian's on the line. What's up, Brian? Thanks for calling 866-RARLER.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Roller. How are you?
Good. Is your real name Brian or what?
What?
Is your real name Brian?
My name's Brian, yeah.
Okay. All right, Brian, you're on.
I just thought it's sort of disingenuous on both sides, going back to the abortion debate, is that on the one side they refer to these fetuses as tissue, and on the other side they refer to them as babies, when scientifically they're fetuses. And I just think that trying to refer to them as tissue is just disingenuous. I mean, your appendix is tissue. A fetus at 12 weeks or 18 weeks or whatever is not just tissue. I just think that they try to like...
I agree. It's all semantics. I totally agree. I had a debate with a girlfriend of mine who was an activist, feminist attorney. And the more she talked about the tissue, I wanted to give her a Kleenex. So what did we learn today? It was... In a sense, you mentioned the word abortion. You know people will be engaged because some people are just so passionate about it on either side of it. And living through the 70s as I did, it became such a seminal issue. It really defined urban, suburban, it really religious, this religion, that religion. And I sense it coming back again. It's, you know, I remember when I was an activist attorney thinking, why doesn't the religious right just give up on the issue? The Supreme Court has ruled enough is enough. Now let's just go on with our lives. But it's way too deep for that. And the vitality of the issue, if I can say it that way, is made clear when an issue like the or a phenomenon like this video surfaces and you scratch the surface and you say, oh, yeah, forgot about that can of worms. Oh, yeah, I forgot how intense that issue was during the day. And now when you have, I'm telling you, when you have someone like Rand Paul, for instance, young man, right? Modern man in every regard, a libertarian. What's a libertarian? A libertarian is a person who says, government stay out of my life. You know, I don't want the government to have anything to do with my life. Rand Paul, that's what is so attractive about him. And yet this issue, he's going to be in the forefront of this issue trying to defund Planned Parenthood. You know, Trump is going to jump on board. And at least two-thirds or more of the Republican 16, the Sweet 16, is going to get engaged in this. So you're going to have immigration and abortion. And I think that's going to play into the hands of the Democrats, ironically. Now, do you have a poll about Hillary Clinton?
Well, you talk about abortion being a wedge issue. It's not just a wedge issue for the Republicans. It likely could be for the Democrats as well. Well, if you look at, there's a new poll out today, not good news for the Hillary Clinton campaign. They put Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, and Marco Rubio up against Hillary Clinton in a one-on-one race in Colorado and Virginia, and my computer just went down, so I don't know where the third state is. But in those two
states...
Those
are two important swing states.
Yeah.
Very important.
In those two states, she loses to all three of those candidates in this new poll that's out today.
No way.
Yeah. Quinnipiac poll, Colorado, Virginia, and unfortunately my computer just died. But the third state, too, down against all three of those candidates when matched one-on-one against them. So you think...
She was always up until...
Well, she was until, you know, there's so many different polls out there, but every poll up till last week, she was beating those candidates. Yeah, Quinnipiac's a great one.
It's a very straight poll. It's not a, it doesn't seem to have a political bias, at least not to me. Wow, so Hillary's, you know, the problem is she's not a natural campaigner. She's not Bill Clinton. I mean, she may be smarter. She may ultimately be a better president than her husband. But she doesn't come across great. I mean, some people are natural campaigners. Trump is a natural campaigner. I mean, Trump has charisma. I said I didn't get in trouble. I was surprised I didn't get in trouble. I said on the air yesterday that in the presidential debates 2 weeks from now, the Fox debate, just over 2 weeks from now, Trump's going to be like King Kong and everybody else is going to be like the monkeys. You know, it's going to be, he's going to be sucking up all the air. And Trump against Hillary Clinton in a debate. Well, you know, I don't think she's not a natural speaker. Everything seems kind of, and then they said, and then we did, and then they went. And I mean it, my fellow Americans, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. My wife's going to get so mad at me.
Yeah, you can come sleep at my house tonight.
Yeah, thank you. See ya.